I'm very weak. Pray for me. But I have something that the Lord told me to say. And I feel like Samuel. The Lord answered a question that I had this morning. And He told me to tell His people. I was on my face. I've been inspired to ask the Lord to heal my dad, Brother Leslie. And yesterday we were praying for Sister Marie Weatherford. We were also very concerned about Brother Michael Smith. And I was asking the Lord, what can we do? What do You want us to do? Where do You want us to go? And I was thinking of doing something. I was thinking of the fast in the years past of the saints in old Bible where they would tear their clothes. And I seriously considered things like that, throwing dust on the head. I knew that those were just tokens. Jesus said, when you fast, don't appear unto men to do it. So I knew there was something in the heart. I was searching. And I felt like if I could just get low enough, maybe I would find the answer. And the Lord gave me a vision. He gave me a vision, and I want to try to draw what I see. See that? But I have here a thought about the grace of God coming down from heaven to us, and it's everything that we need. It's like the sun. The sun is an influence that is almost an unseen influence. What it does to plants is powerful. The sun brings germination out of dead seeds. The heat on the ground, the warmth of it from the sun causes the dead particle of the seed to fall away and the germ inside the seed to begin to spring up. The sun that represents the Lord, and His grace is like the light that comes from Him. But it's also like a flowing river of life. And we read all of this in the scriptures, and we say that we have tasted of that flowing river of the water of life. And we have. But I was asking the Lord about these injuries, these serious things. And the Lord let me know that He has the healing grace, and it's flowing. There's no problem with Him. And it's just like a torrent, a rushing river. It's everything that we need. It's powerful. It's an influence that will change and deliver. But the Lord showed me that there is a fortress. There is a stronghold that is stopping the river. And in order for the river to flow, it has to have low ground. The ground has to get lower for a river to flow. But where the ground begins to rise, and that's why I tried to make it where it was like in layers and in sections, it just seemed like that mound upon mound, from years and years of buildup, there's buildup that has prevented the water to come, the grace to come and heal us. And I didn't know what to do then. But the Lord gave me a thought that He gave to Solomon. Second Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord showed me that this wall, this built up mounds of that's hindering the grace of God is our pride. We're too proud, and He can't heal us. What do we do? Is there hope for us? I believe that the Lord gave me a message of hope, but I believe He wanted me to be like Samuel. I talked to the Lord about it, and He said to me, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show Jerusalem her sins." That's what I have to tell you today. The Lord said, "You're too proud. You're too lifted up." And He began to show me many manifestations of that, and I'm going to show you what the Lord told me. I'm not going to spare you. And I pray that you won't be angry with me. If you don't want to hear this, I guess you can leave. But the Lord told me to do this. Second Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Verse 12 said, "The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, 'I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, let there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.'" That's God's promise to us. We have nothing this morning but to cast ourselves upon the promises of God. Can we get low enough? There's another promise I want to show you. In Daniel, this is one that I have pleaded many, many times. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. This is where we have to cling this morning. We've got to realize that we're nothing without God. We've got to realize that here in the wall, after the wall, there's great needs that are not being met because the wall is there. The buildup is there. Nebuchadnezzar found something out about God. He said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, He is able to abase." Now we can come to the Lord this morning and we can say, "Lord, I have been proud. But You said that if I would repent and humble my heart and turn, that You would forgive and that You would heal. And Lord, You said that those that walk in pride, You're able to abase." We can come to the Lord and say, "I don't know how to be humble. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change. Lord, show me. Lord, You do the work for me. Lord, You humble me." And the Lord will do that. It may take a process of time. I have my own experience that I draw from. I've been a very proud and arrogant person. It's taken the Lord 20 some years, and I still have far to go. The Lord has been so good. I asked the Lord to humble me. I said that prayer. I went to the altar one time when I was a teenager. And I said, Lord, I know I'm proud. I don't know what to do about it. The Lord gave me a scripture. No one came to pray with me. I prayed all by myself. And the Lord gave me the scripture that said, you need not that any man teach you, but the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as he, the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. The Lord gave me a promise. It's taken years, and it's still taking years for me. 2 years ago, well, I'll go back 5 years ago, I knew I was prideful about my appearance. I knew it. No one else knew it, probably. I don't know. I wasn't asking the Lord to deal with that. I mean, I would, but the Lord, I woke up one morning and half of my face wouldn't work. And you talk about ugly. The Lord taught me some good lessons. He taught me that it's not appearance that matters, it's the heart. And for me to not look at people and think, ooh, they're ugly. That was pride in me that did that. I would look at people and I think, ooh, she shouldn't come out of her room. That was pride. The Lord taught me that there's beauty in everyone. It's in the inside. 2 years ago, I preached over at West Virginia. And the Lord blessed me to be able to bring out quite a few scriptures. But while I was preaching, the Lord revealed to me a sense of pride in the ability that I had to bring out the scriptures and to remember them and to quote them from memory. I felt like slinking away. I was so ashamed. I didn't want to preach like that. God didn't deserve that. On our way home, winding between those mountains, my heart was begging God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have ever preached. If I had to preach and be proud, I could about show you where it was, somewhere in Charleston. I said, God, you're going to have to do something with me. I don't know how to humble. I've tried for years and years. I don't know how many days it was. It was just a matter of days. Probably about 2 weeks, I don't know. I prayed again at home. I remember at the couch one morning begging God. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to have to do, but I want you to do something to refine me. This has got to go. I don't want to ever preach again until you take care of this. I woke up one Sunday morning. I went to look in my little son's room to check on him. I swung around sharply in the doorway and hit my temple just as hard as it could be hit. I cried. I boo-hooed. But there was no bruise. There was no swelling in just a little bit. I dried my tears and went to service and preached. And we came home and we went through the week. And the next 2 days, About 2 days, I went to work in my flower garden. I would bend over when I'd get up. All kinds of stuff would just float around in my vision. And I nearly faint. And I began to have a beating inside my ear. Just like that. Just like a dog barking in my ear. And I began to realize there's something wrong in my head. Still never had a bruise or anything. But I began to have experience pressure. You know, the pressure that when the airplane's not pressurized correctly and when you go up and it really begins to affect your head. Well, that's what I began to feel. Anyway, we began to realize that I needed to rest and that the Lord needed to heal me. Obviously, there had been some concussion and some swelling in my head. Well, the Lord was so merciful, and He taught me some precious lessons in that. And I bore a lot of that trouble for about a year. Last year, the Lord impressed me to be prayed for and gave me a scripture. And I was prayed for, and the pressure left my head. I felt like the Lord put a strength in that side of my head. And before that time, I was having headaches severely, and they would settle on that side of my head. And it seemed like it would re-injure the injury. But after last Monarch, I've had very few headaches that went to that side of the head. It's almost like the Lord put it, do not come here, pain, right here in my head. The Lord touched that, but He has not touched the memory loss. I've had a loss of memory. What I used to could just bring out songs, scriptures, names of people, I can't do it. I get up and I try to start singing a song and I can't finish. And it's embarrassing. But it's what the Lord wanted for me. That's what He wanted for me. I'm telling you that to say that if you really mean business, if you say, Lord, I want to seek Your face. I want You to humble me. The Lord will take you serious. He'll do it for you. We can't do it for ourselves, but He will do it for us if we're really serious. The Lord will send us through the situations. And this one may be funny to you, but I love beautiful things. I love flowers. I love the home decor that's appealing array of textures and colors and floral arrangements. And people who know me, they know that I like that kind of stuff. I would have my house to be like Southern Living. Picture perfect. Magazine picture perfect. That's the old Angela. I want to tell you what the Lord does for me. I can't seem to get rid of dust in my house. I can dust, and the next day, it's there again. We've had problems with mice. They have treated our house like it was a hotel. Last year, and almost all year, I had ants. And I don't know when it was, but it was just not too long ago that the Lord came and said, I sent the dust. I sent the mice. I sent the ants. Thank the Lord for them. The Lord hears our prayers. If we really desire the Lord to help us, He can help us. I'm still looking to the Lord for the needs in my life. I knew this wasn't going to be very long today, but I had to tell you what the Lord told me. He said, my people need to humble. And I thought about something. I thought about there have been groups of people and persons that have written things to the body and the camp of the saints. And they've told us this very thing. There have been people who have said, you need to humble yourselves. You all have gotten proud. And I don't know, I think we have said, well, they don't have a right spirit. This group over here, they're compromised, but they're telling us we need to humble our hearts. This group over here, they're fanatical. And they're telling us that we need to humble our hearts. Maybe they're not so wrong in that. Maybe we do need to humble. Maybe we do need to humble. If even people who aren't right with God can see it, then maybe we do have a problem. To not leave you in the dark, I feel like the Lord has given me some manifestations of pride to bring out. We have become proud of our appearance. We have spent much time in our clothes, getting our clothes to be, well, we want to be careful to be modest, but we really want them to be pretty too. We want them to be as stylish as we can be. So, and our reasoning is, we don't want to be such an eyesore that the world won't want to hear us. But that's not our real reason. Our real reason is that we're getting some selfish compensation for looking stylish. We really are. And I'm going to put myself here because I know I've had this problem. It's an attitude. It's what Brother James was talking about last night. There is something in the heart that's producing the immodesty that we're seeing in our camp. Immodesty is a form of pride. Because what the opposite of immodesty is shamefacedness. Modesty is shamefacedness. Shamefacedness means that you're embarrassed to reveal yourself. That's humility. So when we see it, when we see the tight shirts and the low necks and the midriffs and the legs and the arms, when we see these things, we're looking at pride. We're proud, and our brothers and sisters aren't getting healed because we're too proud. We're immodest, and we're proud of it. We come right into the tabernacle and come right up and sing songs in clothes like this. It's hurting us. It's hurting our brother. My dad. I want my dad to be healed. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. I want Brother Michael Smith to be healed. We're proud of ourselves and the way we dress. It's not that we're supposed to go back to a code. Long black and brown and dark blue skirts and Gibson girl style blouses with big overcoats. I'm not advocating that. There's pride in those people too. But there's a spirit of modesty and humility that we need to come to. It's in the heart. This iniquity is in the heart. It's hidden. Nobody knows that you're proud, but you do. We're proud about our possessions. And I want to tell you that I deal with this all the time in my life. I'm seeking the Lord to help me to come to a median where I know He's pleased with me, but I can still express the beauty that I enjoy. You understand what I'm saying? I want the Lord to show me the even place. I don't want to get to where I feel like that living in a hovel is God's will. You understand what I'm saying? I want the Lord to show me how to live His simplicity and His humility on my walls and in my garden, to have things not for my own selfish pleasure and prestige. I don't want to have a knockout garden to make the neighbors envy. You know what I'm saying? This is the advertisements. This is how these things are marketed. Fix this meal and your friends will go, wow. That's pride. We don't want to have our guests. Jesus said, don't have people over for dinner who will feel obligated to do the same to you. No, don't fix big meals that cause emulations in others. Jesus said that. He said, do things for people who can't repay you. Do it in humility and humble service. We're very proud about, the Lord has blessed us financially in America. We have everything heart can wish and more. If we don't like this color, will we trade it off and get another? If this couch is olive green and the style is now blue, out it goes. You know, we can't have that. What is that? There's a drive there to be socially accepted. I don't know, but I really feel that we are too proud about our financial prosperity. My children have said things like, having a car at Monarch has become a status symbol with the young people. And I just went, what? You know, we didn't, even when we were young people, I don't remember that. I don't remember that it made you feel like you were somebody if you had a car. But I've heard this from the young people. Lord, help us. It's not a code, a legal code that I wish to bring you to that will not answer the need. It is a spirit of the heart. Let me give you one more scripture. It keeps coming to my mind. It's in Psalms. Psalms 102 and verse 13. Another scripture that the Lord gave me as I meditated was that He resists the proud. You know what resist means? It means to do like this too. That's what the Bible word means. It means to stretch out His arm and hold you at a distance. God will do that to us. To us. And we want to come close to Him. In His wings are healing. But we can't get to His wings because He's doing this to us. You can't come close. You can't get healed. You're too proud. And it also says that I dwell in the high and lofty place. And where else does He dwell? With Him also. That is of a humble and contrite spirit. And what's the parallel passage? Isaiah 57:15 and then Isaiah 57:15. Well, there's another one too. Isaiah 66:2. Unto this man will I look, even to him that is poor. 66:2 of Isaiah. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. This is the spirit. This is the standard that the Lord wants us to come to. This is the spirit of heart that he wants us all to have. Sister Sherry said yesterday that we've become a people who come and look at the table that the Lord has offered and go, ew, I don't want that. Ooh, who fixed that? No, not if so-and-so fixed it. I don't want that. What do you have over here? Oh, I'll take some of your stuff. That looks good. Pink cupcakes. That's good. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to tremble at His word. The spirit of accepting, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do. If I can only know what it is you want me to do, I'll do it. There's one thing that I will not say to you, Lord, and that is no. I will never say that to you. I will do anything you want me to do. That's the spirit that the Lord wants us to have. Let me get this one in Psalms 102 and verse 13. This is a promise that God has given us. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now what's going to make God do that? Here it is. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones. That's the street. In the ground. And favor the dust thereof. What's he saying? The Lord's going to come and favor us and heal us and bless us and have mercy upon us when we favor the dust, when we humble our hearts. We become people that are hard to reach. The messages go forth and we stay in our seats. Haven't you noticed this in years? The message to have come and dedicate to the Holy and receive the Holy Spirit. Very few come. And the need of the Holy Spirit is so apparent. It's so glaring. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Then the last thing that the Lord wants me to share with you is that when we come to the Lord and say, okay, I'm going to humble myself, He better send the healing. Uh-uh. That's not what we're going to do. We can't expect Him. We can't force His hand. We can't manipulate God and say, all right, now I'm here. Now you do this. What is the spirit in which He wants us to present our supplications to Him for these healings? I believe it's the way that the people in Nineveh did. You remember that? The people of Nineveh, they said to this, like this. Let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell? This is really, I think, where we are. We need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, it's possible that we've gone too far, but we're going to plead your promises. We're going to hang on your mercy. We're going to say, Lord, please. We're going to entreat you. The Bible says that the rich answer roughly, but the poor use entreaties. We're going to entreat the Lord. And here's how we're going to feel about it. We're going to say, who can tell? It may be that the Lord may not hear. But I'm going to humble anyway. Because it's right to humble. Even if He says, I'm going to send a famine in your midst for several years. You're going to cry for healing, but you won't receive it. Will we still humble? Last night, the message came about Saul, and I'll have to tell you that either I've never read that story or I have forgotten it, that David was experiencing famine in his land for some wickedness that Saul had done. And only when he compensated and humbled and showed mercy did God lift the famine. My mouth just dropped open. I just thought, it could be the same with us. If we would humble our hearts for the mounds and mounds and years of pride and say, Lord, even our forefathers were proud. Even some of them were lifted up. We've been doing this for a long time. Lord, we have traditions and thought patterns that are inherited, that have come down many, many years. Lord, where are we? You know, if you don't even know where you are, how do you know how to go back? But the Lord can help us to go back. The Lord can help us to truly find humility. When God sent the man out with an inkhorn, he said, put a mark on everybody that's crying and sighing for the sins of Jerusalem. Remember that in Ezekiel? And then he sent a man out with a sword and said, am I getting this right? Now you've got to slay everybody that doesn't have a mark. Everybody that's not praying and crying. And he said, and start with my sanctuary. If judgment, it said, will first begin at us, where will the end be of them that are ungodly and obey not the gospel? Judgment does begin with us. It first begins at the house of God. It really does. The Lord wants us to hear His word today. I don't know what you want to do about it. Last night, Brother Ed said that we should all pray, and we didn't get to do that. But maybe we could do that again. I think that one place that we've become very proud is that we think we can do all this on our own. We think that we can sing. We think that we can charm the people. We think that we can bring an attitude of worship by what we do. We think that we can sway the sinners. If we can just sing this song perfectly enough, everyone will go, oh. We think that we can do that. We think that we can do this without God. We think that we can have camp meeting and organize things, and God's not in the picture anymore. And we get up and we come down to the service and we haven't prayed that morning. I understand. It's really hard sometimes if you're a mom and your child sleeps late and you've got to get them some breakfast and you hurry around and you've got to get things. And I've done this. I've got to the service and thought, this is awful. I've not really sought the Lord this morning. Lord, help me not to do that. I know, I understand. But what if we had time? What if we got up early and we came out and we just messed around with the young people and we just, maybe we went to town and goofed off, and we, that night after the service, we went to town again and we ate at Brahms and we played and we had a big time and we never sought the Lord. We never prayed. Then we come to service and we hope that somebody will have a blessing to share with us. It's pride. We think that God's going to bless us and we're not down there saying, oh, dear Lord, please help the service today. We can't wait till we get here to do that. We need to be praying. In between services, young people, the responsibility of the meeting is some on you. If you're playing and not praying, how can you expect God to to give you a good young people's meeting, to inspire you with testimonies of praise. We have entered, and it's been this way for, I'll say, about 15 years, a play era where the young people, and older ones too, feel it's necessary. We must have our play time. And the pray time has been put on the back burner. You must be honest with me and say, yes, you're right. You're right. Do you have parents that you want to see saved? Are there old people that you wonder, why aren't those old people ever get saved here at Monarch? They come every year and I know he's not saved. Take him to your room in prayer. Bear a burden. Humble ourselves before God. I hope that God will break open something. I'm not being harsh or critical. I have nowhere to go. I have no people to join myself to. I love this people. I owe you my life. The things that I've heard here have what made me what I am. But it's not just you people that did it. It was when God came and worked. I had something. I should have just done it, but I'll show you something. Here's something the Lord provided for me. You see this? This came from here. You see the difference? That's us without God. That's us with God's visitation. If He would have mercy upon us. You can't make a plant green. You can't sit there and talk to it and say, now green up. There's not an amount of anything that we could do to bring life back into this leaf. It is cut off from the vine. We are only at home in the bosom of God. We cannot have any life apart from Him. When we're severed from the vine, we're ugly. And I told the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, show us how ugly we are. Show us. Convict us. And then, Lord, give us a message of hope that says, look what you can be if I'm flowing through you, if I'm working with you. Healing. I thought about a little song I heard years ago. In this very room, there's quite enough love for all of us. In this very room, there's quite enough hope for all of us. In this very room, there's quite enough power and quite enough joy to take away every fear, I think it was. For Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is in this very room. That's what we need. I've given you what the Lord gave me. Love me anyway. I need you.